Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad that you've joined me as we take a look at some things going on around us in the Brotherhood and we spend time in God's Word. This morning, as we continue our study of the Old Testament in 2017, we are now in the Psalms, and we're spending quite a bit of time in the Psalms. And this morning we're going to be looking at Psalms 45, 46, and 47 as we look at the mighty deliverance. But before we do that, we do want to make you aware of some things that are going on around us. And one of those is the Northeast Texas Summer Youth Series. It meets on Monday evenings. Now this coming Monday, they're going to take a break from the series because of many being at camp this coming week, but it will resume on June the 19th, and that will be at the Maud, Texas Church of Christ, and that'll be at 7 p.m. I also want to remind you of the ongoing summer lecture series here in Mount Vernon this year, and that is running on Wednesday evenings. And coming up this next week will be June the 21st with Hebrews chapter 3 and speaker Nat Ayers from the Broadway congregation in Tyler, Texas. Some of the other upcoming speakers in this series on Hebrews will include Anthony Warnes, John McCormack, Jim Laws, Chris Grota, J.J. Hendricks, Andy Baker, Jeff Blanton, Phil Hancock, Brian Berdeau, and Neil Thurman. That's the summer lecture series on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. The Mount Vernon congregation is located at 708 West Main Street. For more information about the series, give us a call at 903-537-4129. Some other things that we want to make you aware of, and one of those is an upcoming Vacation Bible School. That's June 25th through the 28th at the Maud Congregation in Maud, Texas. That'll be in the evenings from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And for more information, call 903-585-2371. It's also summer camp time right now, and Camp Ida is in full swing. We hope that you are making plans to attend. Right now, session 2 is going on this week, but beginning Sunday on June the 18th, session 3 will begin. That'll run June 18th through the 23rd. The director of session 3 is John McCormack. He can be reached at 417-217-0329. And this year's theme is The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. Also, coming up June 25th to the 30th is Session 4. That's the Leadership Camp with Director J.J. Hendricks. You can reach J.J. at 682-201-7337. And then finally, Session 5 will run July 2nd through the 7th. The director is Brian Braswell. The theme is Christian Character. The number to call for Brian is 501-732-6223. Camp Ida is located in Maud, Texas. It is under the oversight of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. The camp director is Brother Richard Rutledge, and you can reach him at 903-434-3072. You can also visit the website at www.campida.com for more information. Things have gone great so far, and we're looking for that to continue through the summer. So we hope that you can make plans to attend one of the remaining sessions if you have not already. And now we turn our attention to our Bible study time this morning, and we'll begin with Psalm 45. And the picture here is the king and his bride in this psalm. And Psalm 45 is a messianic psalm in nature. And the authorship is attributed to the sons of Korah by most, but there is room for debate on that, though I believe that to probably be the case. But this psalm gives us a very good picture of the coming of the Christ. And we see the great love of Christ for his bride, which is his church. Verse 1 says, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." The psalmist here immediately tells us that his heart is one that is overflowing. And the reason that he is overflowing is the source of his joy. The king has an overflowing heart. And so we see the inspired psalmist here is ready to write these things down. The Holy Spirit has allowed him to see a vision in the future, and it's not hard to understand the excitement here in the psalmist. He's ready and excited to write about the glorious scenes that he's been privileged to see. And so now we see in verses 2 through 9, as he begins to address the king, "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever." The psalmist describes the reign of the king, as well as addressing here the king. The king is fairer than the sons of men. His spiritual beauty is very evident, and it is ever before the psalmist. The king's lips are an outpouring of grace, and certainly every word of our Lord Jesus is full of grace. In John chapter 7 and verse 46 here, we see those who encounter Jesus saying, "No man ever spoke like this." They said that because of Jesus' perfection. God has blessed him forever. Verse 3 said, "To gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty." We know that God is love, but also God wields a sword. The groom of this wedding is also a warrior. Notice with me Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. "He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." Verse 4 says, "And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness." The characteristics of the reign of Christ are truth and humility and righteousness. And indeed, the kingdom or the church of Christ is built upon truth. We must base our lives upon truth and humility and righteousness if we want to be blessed by God. The right hand held the spear, And Jesus is a victorious conqueror over his enemies. Verse 5, your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Indeed, the arrows of the word of our king are sharp and piercing, according to Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just like on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel has cut to the heart of men, they will respond with repentance. Verse 6 says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Your love, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Indeed, God's throne is permanent and everlasting. And the kingdom that our Lord established is one that will never fail. Remember Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is righteous, and it is perfect. Verses 6 and 7 were quoted by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Verse 6 here points out the deity of Christ. And verse 7 points out the humanity of Christ. God anointed him with the oil of gladness because of his love of righteousness and hatred of wickedness. Known to men. Brother Burton Kaufman noted that the significance of the mention of these spices is in connection with funerals and their use as a kind of embalmment in the burial of deceased loved ones. At the burial of Jesus, we note the ingredients there that were used to anoint the body by Joseph. And in verse 9, king's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. It is not known where Ophir was located, but obviously it was a place with great stores of the finest gold and valuable jewels. Then we see in the next few verses the address here is made to the bride. Verse 10, listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also, and your father's house. The psalmist here addresses the bride, the church, and the church must listen carefully. Just as the bride renounces or forsakes all others in the wedding ceremony, so must the church forsake others. Christians must be totally devoted to the Lord as a wife is to her husband. The Lord must come before even family if they stand in the way of our commitment to Christ the King. Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Barnes, in his commentary, noted that the church, the bride of the Lamb, as seen in the vision, is exalted to the highest post of honor in these verses. The word desire is equivalent to having pleasure in, as meaning that his affection would thus be fixed on her. Christians need to recognize that Jesus is the Lord, and we must be ready to worship or reverence Him. We must, as a bride, forsake all others. Fear the Lord and be blessed with the favor of the Lord. Christians, like the wife, must follow Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. In verse 12, back in our text, it says, "And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor." Tyre was a very important and leading city of those days. It was one that was full of riches and luxury. She will come bringing a gift. Indeed, people will desire the favor of the king and his bride. And now, we further look in the next few verses at this beautiful bride, the church. 13. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. What a beautiful picture of the church. The beautiful clothing described here. Men, think back to the beauty of your wife on that wedding day when you saw her appear in the aisle. Indeed, there is nothing more beautiful than the pure beauty of a bride. The beautiful clothing of a bride and the beautiful gown of purity worn by the church. Those who are not pure when the king comes for his bride will not enter the mansion of the king. Verse 15 says, "With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace." An earthly wedding is something we think of great beauty, but it cannot even begin to compare to the joy and the celebration of that heavenly wedding of the spotless Lamb of God and His church, which He purchased with His own blood, that He will present to the Father. And finally, verses 16 and 17 give us blessings for the king. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, when you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever." The bride leaves her father and mother and the blessings of that home, but she is blessed with her own children that replace that. The church makes new disciples by converting the lost into the family of God. Indeed, princes in all the earth, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a church that will stand forever. From Daniel 2:44 in prophecy to the endlessness of eternity, the glorious church will stand with her groom, the Christ. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and forever the cry of "Worthy is the Lamb" shall ring forth. The beautiful picture of Psalm 45. And so now we move to Psalm 46. God, the refuge of His people and conqueror of nations. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spears in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Psalm 46 is a psalm of the sons of Korah. The old hymn that we do not sing very often anymore, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," was inspired by this psalm. We could outline this psalm into three sections: God is for us, God is with us, and God is victorious. The psalmist gives us a beautiful picture of the power and the help that comes from the Lord. Let us go back to verse 1 and consider that God is for us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its dwelling, Selah. We can have confidence in relying upon God. God is our strength, and God is our help in times of trouble. If God is for us, who can be against us? Men are going to let us down from time to time, but God is always faithful and reliable, and He will never disappoint. If we understand this, we will not fear. Whatever the world throws at us, God is our refuge, and He is there for us. Notice how strong of a confidence that we are to have in the Lord. The earth may tremble and give way, but we have no need to fear. The mountains may fall into the sea, but we will not fear. The waters may roar and foam, but we have no reason to fear. The mountains may quake, but we will not be afraid. The illustrations here describe great disaster that would put people into panic when they hear about or witness such events. But we are not to be shaken even if the world seems to be falling apart around us. In the day of trouble, we are to remember God, and He will remember you when tribulation is upon you. Too often, when our world is falling apart, we think that God has left. But God does not leave, He is there. It is us who leaves. We simply need to run back to the Lord. In the Old Testament days, when enemies attacked, the people who lived outside the city could not have confidence unless they went inside the fortress. We cannot stand outside the fortress of God and think that we are safe because God is our fortress. Responsibility is first placed upon us to go to the refuge for God's safety. This means that we are to believe and have faith that God is there to protect us so that we will turn to Him. This psalm attempts to remind us that God is reliable and that He is worthy of our trust. Indeed, God is for us, but God is with us. Let's go back to verse 4. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. A picture of life in the city of God. There is a river going through the city of God. According to verse 4, the river makes the inhabitants of the city glad. Consider this river of life. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The city of God is where the Most High dwells. God is within her. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." And if you go back to verse 3 in the previous chapter in Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Since God is within the city will not fall to any enemies or any troubles. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. The earth melts when the Lord lifts his voice. Yet, the book of Revelation pictures the hope of the gates of God remaining open at all times, since God has conquered all the enemies. All of this was to be physically true under the Old Covenant. God was pictured in the Old Testament as dwelling in the temple. Since God was with the people, the nation would not fall. But the people under the Old Covenant misunderstood. They thought that God would dwell with them regardless of their actions. Jeremiah identified the problem in Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 3. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." God was no longer with the people when they disobeyed him. This was a lesson for us to learn even today about what we must do to have God abiding with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God does not dwell in buildings made with hands, as Solomon declared at the dedication of the temple. God dwells within us, but this only can be when we are obedient to the Lord. The blessings are immeasurable when God is dwelling with us. Indeed, the Lord of hosts is with us. Verse 7 said, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." God wants to be with us. Recall that the angel told Mary before the birth of Jesus that his name would be Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God shows his love and his desire to be with us so much that God created man to be with him in the Garden of Eden. It is the actions of man that separated man from God, but God still wanted to dwell with his people. A tabernacle and later a temple were built so that the presence of God would be with the people, showing how near God is to us. God then sends his only Son, Jesus, to live with us and among us, to show the way to the Father. And now God says he abides with us when we are walking according to the Spirit. Beginning in verse 8, we see that God is victorious among us. "Come, behold the works of the Lord. who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In the latter part of this psalm, we read about the Lord's works and how the Lord is victorious. The psalmist encourages us to come and to see the works of the Lord. Particularly, the people are to notice the desolations God has brought on the earth. Verse 9 describes how the Lord has gone about the earth bringing an end to war. Notice that God has brought an end to war through war. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the chariots with fire. Indeed, God's kingdom will always win the battle. In verse 10, we read, "Be still and know that I am God." When things go wrong, we tend to forget that God is still in control. Many of the discouragements in our lives are the result of forgetting to trust God. We forget that He is the one in charge. God rules the earth, and God will accomplish His purposes. When things in our lives do not go as planned, will we take matters into our own hand or rely upon God? If our job is not what we wanted, will we make a decision that will spiritually hurt us? Or will we trust God to work something out for us? We must decide for ourselves if we truly believe God is interested and concerned about our lives, and if He cares about what happens to us. When we unravel, we are declaring that we do not believe God cares. We need to stop throughout the day and remember that God is in control. God will be exalted in the earth and among the nations. If we will surrender our will and let God be in control, we will see that the Lord of hosts is with us and that we can find our refuge in Him, that we can take refuge in the fortress of the Lord, the city of God, to find hope and confidence in any disaster that may come our way. And now we come to the 47th psalm, our final psalm that we'll look at today. This is a praise to God, the ruler of the earth. It was to the chief musician, and is a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. The author of this psalm is not given. But the notation is that it is for the sons of Korah. Many believe it was written by David, but that can only be speculation. It is a psalm of victory, and this psalm exalts God as king. We go back to verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. The victorious result in battle generated an enthusiastic rejoicing here and celebration as the victory has been won and the Lord God stands exalted among the people. Verse 2 says, For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. God is the King Supreme, and He rules over all the kings and nations of the earth. Jesus is reigning in His kingdom today, and He is truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Verse 3 says that He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. We see in verse 3 here the absolute power of God over the nations. And to say that He subdues carries the idea that God simply has to speak, and it is so. The 33rd Psalm in verse 9 said, For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Verse 4 says, He will choose our inheritance for us. The excellence of Jacob, whom He loves, Selah. God fulfilled all His promise of an inheritance to the children of Israel. What was impossible for man was nothing more than speaking it to be so for the Lord God. Recall back to the summation of that great event when the inheritance to the children of Israel had been fulfilled. In Joshua chapter 21, beginning in verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. We continue in verse 5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Notice in verse 6 that the psalmist exhorts us to sing praises to God 4 times. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. We are to sing with understanding as we sing these praises to our God, to our King. We need to sing with understanding, recognizing that the King of all the earth is our God. Truly we teach and we admonish when we sing with understanding. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Back to our text in verse 8. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. God is holy and rules the nations from his holy throne. In regards to verse 9, Brother Burton Kaufman noted that in all the Bible, there is not a clearer prophecy of God converting the Gentiles and of bringing them into the kingdom of God alongside the Jews than we have here. Notice again verse 9, the princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Verse 8 pointed out that God reigns over the nations, and he is on his throne. The armies of the earth will be at the mercy of God who controls all things. He is greatly exalted indeed. This psalm is a great reminder to man that God is above all, and that he is over all things pertaining to the earth and to the lives of men. Psalm 47. I hope our time together this morning has been encouraging to you. I know that you've been an encouragement to me. We look forward to tomorrow as Brother Hendricks and Brother Grota continue our study of the Psalms. The Lord wills, I'll see you again next Thursday at this same time. I also encourage you to invite me to join me Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for Studies in the Gospels, a 30-minute program that is designed each week to help us to study through the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I hope that you'll join me then. And I hope that you'll stay tuned through the day for the rest of the programs here on the Gospel Radio Network. And remember that coming up here in just about an hour and a half will be Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine, a live call-in program coming to you from San Angelo, Texas, with Brother Rick Popejoy and Brother Mike Bonner. Hope you'll avail yourself to that program if you have not already been all tuning into that. And all of the programs, go to the programming schedule. And we encourage you to find a program that you've not been listening to and tune into that and see the one that you like and continue your listening here on the Gospel Radio Network. So until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.